Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Yeah, it's been a long stretch. I think kind of in this last week, you can see the light at the end of the tunnel. We got to get a bunch of work done in a shorter amount of time this week. So we actually had a full practice like a Tuesday today, had the guys back in for a walkthrough to try to introduce the game plan last night. You know, guys' tanks are a little bit empty, but we got enough to get us through one more week. And I was really happy with the enthusiasm out there today.
Back with you. It's great to have you in on a Monday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the pride of Chicago, is Danny Burke. That is Scott Frost. No rest, right? As it is Iowa-Nebraska week, we will get full Nebraska Hawkeye. If you want today, plenty of time this week to dive into yay or nay on the rivalry, but you're welcome to join us. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Numbers to get in. You can follow us and do so on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at Danny Burke 5. Where to start? How about that ball game Saturday? Where were you? Was the stadium shaking? Did you bail at half? Did you lose faith? Did you stick in and say there's no way they're losing this, even though it looked bleak and slim to none? Slim Maya left town. I got to be honest with you. I was sitting there watching, taking notes feverishly, charting plays, just helping with memory in hopes to have something just awesome to talk about today. And the story is going to be the defense from Saturday. The story is going to be Nebraska's defensive performance Saturday and what they can bring to the party on Friday, because again, it could be one of those 12 round, let's go bare knuckle and swing away. Phones are open, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. So there's a lot of places to go coming up. It is a Black Shirt Monday, which means Jay Moore will join us in about 15 minutes, get his take on Saturday and this coming Friday. Mr. Black Shirt Charlie McBride going to be with us in 1 hour. And then it was a lot of fun to get caught up with Tyron Ferguson today. A sit-down with number 43. The guy battled back. He was playing really, really good football. And then the old high ankle sprain happened for him, and it really kind of tore him up. Not just physically, but man, he wanted to play some football at the level he had been playing at. And you did not see him after Michigan until the Minnesota game. And then you still didn't see him against the Illini, and you didn't see him much against Ohio State. And he's a guy that has been in the backfield making tackles for a loss. His play on that sprint option was key, was big. I mean, Nebraska, again, traded shots with Michigan State, who could seize momentum. And a play like Tyron Ferguson's sprint option, no, it's a two-on-one drill. Let me just screw up both of you. He did it. That was big. Antonio Reed, my God. Can we talk about Antonio Reed for a little bit? Number 25, you know he's a thumper. You know he comes and hits with bad intentions. The way he gets downhill from the safety against the run is vicious. What he did to the Michigan State tight end on a seam route was vicious. He forced a second fumble that Nebraska didn't jump on as he lit up somebody. And then he had the game-changing play. Nebraska's offense got going a little bit the previous series off of a bad punt into that horrific wind. And you know the horrific wind I'm talking about, because you walked into it going to the stadium and you felt like it switched directions on you, leaving the stadium, going to the bar. Okay? and what he did for this defense, you have two guys that you look at, Danny, and you're like, man, I wish you had more time with them. Antonio Reed's one of those guys because of how big time of an athlete he is and what he did Saturday is why he was recruited to Nebraska. 7 tackles, 3 for a loss from a safety spot, an interception, 2 forced fumbles, the game-changing play that Nebraska got set up and put into field goal range. Touchdown would have been nice, but you had to roll the dice and hit from three-point land 3 times by Pickering. Good on him for doing his job and making it happen in awful, awful conditions. But Antonio Reed, big time. Divine Ozigbo, big time. Both those guys, you wish you could extend their careers here at Nebraska. Antonio can play at such a high level. Took a little longer than he even wanted, but he got there. Divine Ozigbo kept persevering, got that first down behind the offensive line. Nebraska able to get into victory formation. What's Saturday mean? Let's break that down. It's a win against now a 6-5 football team. Is that it? No. Let's look for some deeper meaning, and it's okay to attach more to it. Nebraska football has been in the Big Ten for how many years? 7. This is year number 7 in the Big Ten. Nebraska's played in 1 conference championship. They vied for the West Division or the Leaders or the Legends. Okay. But a lot of times at this time of year, they have already been eliminated. Typical record's probably been 5-3. This year, you know how it started. You look and smile how it's finishing. Nebraska football has not been competent enough since moving into the Big Ten to win a game like this. They haven't. The defense has not been able to stop the run, historically speaking. And the offenses, while they may give you a great output, they can't score 70. This is not a vintage Sparty team on offense. They are too injured to be dangerous enough to win a ball game. But their defense is incredible. Their defense is flat out sick. And it's 11 dudes. That unit is big time. And what Nebraska was able to do is win a football game that Scott Frost didn't think they'd play in or be able to win. That style. And man, I tell you what, this is exactly what you're going to get 2-3 times a year in Big Ten football play. You're going to get 2-3 bad weather games, and you're going to get 2-3 defenses that are just going to lay on you. They are just going to lean on you. They're going to punch you in the face. They're going to get a couple of shots thrown at them, and then they're going to get up and do it again. And it was symbolic and important, not only to keep momentum going, not only to show progress that, yeah, things are turning around. It's not just talking points. And no, it's not just the offense is the best thing ever. It is fun and it's really good. Okay? But going into this football game with Nebraska and Michigan State, I wondered, how was Nebraska's offense going to perform? You saw them do well against Ohio State, right? You saw them put up enough points to win against Northwestern. All right. They did pretty decent against Wisconsin. Iowa's still out there. Michigan State's a game you wanted to have because Michigan State's kind of been the only other team in recent history that's been able to tangle with and beat Ohio State. They've gone to a college football playoff. They've won a couple of Big Ten championship games. All right. They're up and down. They'll have some big wins, and then they'll lose a head scratcher the last couple of years. Okay, so they're a far cry from Big Ten championship team, but they're still really, really solid. They're really a good football program. They're ranked every year, and they know who they are, and they are going to try and beat the hell out of you. Nebraska football, when it comes to a game like this, has not ever been able to in the Big Ten. Aside from the Rex Burkhead's back from injury, let's hand the football to him and win in Iowa City the year they won the Big Ten championship in 2012. That was a 20-7 grinder, or even a 13-6 grinder. Okay. That's the only other game that comes to my memory in November, in late November, with the weather being a real pain in the ass, and Nebraska was able to win. And that was a really talented football team. This team is probably playing over their skis a little bit. They're good, they're talented, but are they a complete team? Well, they found a way to become that on Saturday. And maybe it's a new Nebraska team in the Big Ten. Moving forward, you don't plan on them winning 9-6 football games. The point is they got it done. They found a way to do it. And you may not see something like that ever again. That's fine. But this was a huge step because you've been waiting on the defense. Not just to be better, but to kind of win a football game for this team. And the offense, listen, in days like Saturday where it's snowing, where it's windy, where it's miserable, and you've got a thumper back in Ziggy, but no one's going to make a living running the football against a team like Michigan State. And when I say nobody, I mean, I don't know if Clemson would have a lot of touchdown drives against that Michigan State defense. I don't know if Alabama would be that great. Alabama would probably be throwing the football against Michigan State and wouldn't try and run it. Maybe I'm being presumptuous. I don't know. But Nebraska needed to be able to win a football game that was throwback, old school, snow and wind and rain and monsters of the Midway-esque. And they did it. They had enough heart and guts and stick-to-itiveness to do it. I'm shocked that they found a way to win that football game because of just everything that was against them. And I know Michigan State's offense wasn't vintage Sparty, and I know they're injured, but they're still Michigan State. And their reputation on Nebraska football the last 3 to 4 years has been, you're not tough enough. Mainly the last three. You're not tough enough. You get hit enough. You're going to quit, and you're going to turtle, and you're going to cover up, and then you're going to quit. When you go up against a physical team like that, Nebraska did the opposite. They rose up. They made plays. They made plays on defense. The offense helped the defense. The defense helped the offense. Special teams has come light years in the last two football games. Special teams won them a football game after costing them 2-3 this season. And you won a game having to pick your spots and be patient in an offense that is scoring on people in 60 seconds. You had like 3 or 4 chunk plays. That's it. You hit Stanley for 35. Adrian scrambled for 17. You had 3 runs that were over 10 yards. That's it. That's all you got. And you missed some opportunities. You did. It wasn't perfect. But your defense came to win the football game for you. Special teams came to win the football game for you. And the offense did just enough. Kind of exclamation point by the kicking game. God, they're going to take a game like Saturday and run with it and lean back on it and draw from it for future seasons. Guys that are still a part of this football team that are underclassmen, guys that are juniors. Because Nebraska's not won a football game like that in forever. It was throwback, almost Oklahoma-Nebraska, slugfest, brutal weather, and it was the toughest man in the bar competition. And they won it, man. And that's what you got to be the most jacked about if you're a Nebraska fan. It was not that they won it, but how they won it. It was completely out of left field stylistically, where they were able to win a physical football game and make more plays. Nebraska's defense made more plays than the Michigan State defense, or as many. And Nebraska hit all 3 of these. Michigan State doinked one. We'll get plenty into the officiating, I promise you. Didn't cost Nebraska, but it didn't. Usually you don't get hosed at home. And there were some questionable calls or no calls that happened in Nebraska that could have made things a little bit hairy. So we'll take your thoughts on Michigan State and a 9-6 win for Nebraska, and that never in my wildest dreams would I have seen. I could see a low-scoring game, but I couldn't see Nebraska winning a low-scoring game. They needed to at least break 20. They got 9, and they're better for it as a program, as a team, and it's a new identity in the Big Ten, something they'd been in question. They've been questioned by their Big Ten roommates for a long time if they're tough enough to win a football game like this, because they'd never really been in one. That's the other part of it, is what Coach Shanahan and the defense did to carry the water all day, keep fighting, is huge. And it's huge because you get a win, you keep momentum, but you're taking this with you that you just did on Saturday into Friday. Because while it might not be 9-6, you're going to be taking on a similar opponent that loves to line up and just slam away with a sledgehammer on you. So Nebraska kind of shook a bad reputation. Now you got to follow it up on Black Friday against Iowa. For many years, Nebraska's toughness was in doubt. Nebraska stood up tall against one of the tougher, if not the toughest team in the Big Ten historically the last 5 years. Jay Moore, Blackshirt Husker NFLers, next on Hail Varsity. Great to be with you on a Monday.
Allstate, two-year starter, and rush in for the Big Red, an NFL vet.
Is Dudeness or Duder or El Duderino, if you're not into the whole brevity thing.
It's Blackshirt Jay Moore with Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with you, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Love doing this on Mondays, Black Shirt Monday. Let's talk to one, Jay Moore, golfer extraordinaire at JayMoore44. And you watch him Tuesdays on Big Red Wrap Up. Bird, how are you?
Schmitty, I am doing well. It's Monday. We got a short week. Turkey Day's coming up, and Friday football games. You can't beat it.
I'm anxious to pick your brain on all of what's transpired Saturday and projecting Black Friday. I like to say that Saturday was a Jay Moore type of football game, man. 9-6, slugfest. The good guys won. I know that's what you were thinking. I know you you had some great seats Saturday, and you deserve them. Take me through your emotions through Saturday.
Man, I was just really patient. You know, I did, even though we were struggling offensively, and you know, they didn't do much offensively either, but I knew, like, you know what, this game was just one of those, you got to be patient. And then when you get your opportunities and you get your chances, when, you know, you've been kind of giving them body blows and all of a sudden they start protecting those ribs a little bit, you go for the face, you go for the head, and Nebraska did that. They hung in there, and all of a sudden they start protecting their body a little bit, and all of a sudden here comes Reed, Antonio Reed, off a blitz sack fumble, and all of a sudden Nebraska's back in business. That's kind of how you have to play these games. But, I mean, the weather was so bad. I mean, this is the only game I've been to, and granted, I was sitting inside the whole game because I'm soft now. And I can't, you're not going to find me sitting outside in that stuff, I'll tell you that much. I mean, it's brutal. I mean, walking into the wind, walking north into that breeze, I mean, I was talking to my buddies as we were walking in the game. I go, can you imagine throwing or catching a football in this right now? You know how hard that is? I mean, it was brutal. I mean, you saw. I mean, no points. And correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think any points were scored in that end zone. No field goals or nothing. I think everything came in the south end zone because it was all downwind.
You had one attempt, and it went doink off the upright.
Right. I mean, it was brutal. And that's just what you said. Like I said, it was just one of those games where you just had to be patient. You just hope, you took care of the football. Nebraska, you know, they had the fumble, the Cade Warner, and then you had Adrian Martinez's fumble, and, you know, Nebraska had an opportunity to get one more. But, I mean, the crazy thing is, a game like that, Nebraska is negative in the turnover margin, and they win that football game. But that's just, honestly, if Nebraska does not have the win in the fourth quarter, they probably don't win that football game. Michigan State wins that football game. But that was just, you had to use that to your factor, and you had to be smart, you know, and around the coin flip, and luckily, we had the win in the fourth quarter. Otherwise, that probably would have went the other way. But it was just a grind. That game was a grind. It was a battle. You know, it was kind of fun to watch. Especially, I'm sure there's stats in there you may even have. It was less than Nebraska won without scoring a touchdown.
81 years against Kansas, 1937.
Yeah. Right. I mean, that's pre-World War II. I mean, football's changed a lot since then, and that's that's the way that type of game was going to play out. You could say that was a classic Big Ten game. Yeah, but that weather was brutal. That weather was brutal to try to score with that wind. And I'm just glad we had the field position. We had the wind, and we had Barrett Pickering who came up clutch. And you talk about a man that's grown and gotten better over the year. I mean, that guy, you know, single-handedly won us the game in those type of conditions as well. And good for him. And you know, I'm glad he was on our side on Saturday.
Jay Moore's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Blackshirt Husker NFLer at JayMoore44. Catch him Tuesdays on Big Red Wrap Up. Jay, what did Saturday say to you about the defense? And look, I was saying 27-21. You were all over it Friday at the Graduate about it's one of those patience games. You nailed it. But the low scoring NFC North, right? I mean, just throwback snowplow game where the defense did everything they could to will that team to victory, both defenses. And Nebraska's, who's been treated like a pinata a lot of the year, played their best game, and it's probably the best defensive performance Nebraska's seen for quite a while.
Yeah, I mean, they like I said, Michigan State's offense, they have their own issues, you know. They tried to throw a few wrinkles with Lombardi and a quarterback, but they played solid, and they made plays when they had to. And again, this defense will evolve under Schnander. I don't think you're going to see, you know, quite like it was at UCF. I think he'll tweak it a little bit, but I mean, again, when the opportunity is there to make a play, we did, and when we needed to make a play, we did. Whether it was on third down late in the game, whether it was on fourth down late in the game, we made plays. We fought through really poor officiating too. That was a good thing. You know, there were some, whether it was, you know, the non-late hit on Stanley, whether it was, you know, the guy was clearly, looked like he was clearly offside and wanted to punt earlier. The DPI laid on Lamar late in the game. You know, the non-pass interference against Stanley in the end zone of that fade route. I thought that looked clearly like a pass interference. You know, offensively, defensively, we fought through bad calls, and that's a mark of kind of a team. And I've said it before. You know, you just have to go out and play, and you kind of have to forget the scoreboard. Sometimes it doesn't matter if it's fourth quarter or the first quarter. You just approach it like it, you know, like it's the same play every day, in every game. And that's kind of what this team. And I know we're talking about the defense, but that's just, you know, they're fighting through they fought through a lot of adversity, obviously, this year. And defensively, looking at it, I mean, they just came out there and played. They knew what they had to do. They got their stops. They got key turnovers, and they just played. They played solid. I mean, Michigan State was going to do some things. You know, they're still physical. Still a physical football team, and they're able to get some runs. But you know what? They bowed up at right times and made stops, and that's what you got to do in games like that. And get the ball back into your offense's hands and try to get as many points as possible. And it worked out. It worked out that we got them back in there and got the offense back in there, and we got a couple field goals. And sealed that thing off. But that's just, I mean, the defense really, I mean, that defense won you that football game on Saturday. And it's honestly, we haven't had too many situations where we've said that this year. You can say, yeah, you know what, Schnander and Lamar Jackson and Antonio Reed and Luke Gifford and all those guys single-handedly won that game for the team. And that's a good step in the right process for the defense.
Jay Moore's with us. A couple more minutes, Hail Varsity Radio. Watch him tomorrow night. His thoughts on Sparty, his thoughts on Black Friday. Jay, it's a game that you got to play four times against the Buffs on Black Friday. It's now Iowa, and the dislike, the hatred, the barbs, whatever you want to call it, it's intensifying. And Iowa's faded a bit. They're still a good team. They're a different team, honestly. Just the way that they're a little more multiple throwing the football around. I mean, their offense is, dare I say it, fun to watch. And they've lost a lot of close games this year, and they've been in a ton of ball games. What do you see Friday with this Nebraska team, with this momentum? And flip it around. What's Iowa going to do that could cause you to reach for more Jack Daniels?
Yeah. You know, Iowa's a really good defense. I mean, they just shut out Illinois, who has a really good offense, and hung 63 points on them. And just, I mean, just smoked them. And I know Iowa was coming off of 3 straight losses. You know, they lose Purdue and you know, lost some other close games in there. But and they just smoked Illinois, and we just had issues defensively with, you know, with what they were doing and AJ Bush. And you know, I didn't get to see much of the game, so I don't know the full stats. I don't know if Illinois turned it over a ton or not, but you know, they, I mean, you want to talk about a team that, you know, we thought was struggling a little bit towards the finish line. Well, they kind of changed that real quick. Got that figured out. You know, their defense is really good. I don't know if it's Michigan State good, but it's not too far off. They play physical up front. They got a good D line. They play solid. You know, they tackle well. You know, offensively, you know, they got some weapons. Whether it's Noah Fant, whether it's a run game. You know, the getting the QB out of the pocket on some throws. They do things very, very well. I mean, Coach Friend's teams are they play physical. But, I mean, it's just you say it so much about Big Ten teams. You know, they play physical, they play smart, they take care of the football, they don't hurt themselves. That's what Iowa does. And then, you know, I don't feel as good. I felt really good about Michigan State. I don't feel as good, I'll be honest, about Iowa just because their offense isn't, you know, they have a pretty good offense. And and when you get our defense, when we've had their issues, that concerns me a little bit. And then you get their defense. Nice thing is the weather's going to be a little better. It's going to be a lot better. You know, it looks like it should be almost in the 50s, maybe low 40s, and get in the 50s eventually, depending on the rain in Iowa City on Friday. So hopefully, you know, Adrian's going to feel better throwing, and everyone's going to feel better offensively with the weather. So it's going to be close. I really do. I can't figure out what side. I mean, I'll eventually pick Nebraska, but I feel like it's a close one. I feel like this could be like a 28-24, 31-27 type football game where it's honestly, you know, who has that last possession, or, you know, whoever gets that last turnover. Maybe it's a game-winning field goal. Maybe they go into overtime again. It's going to be a close one because Iowa is a really, really, really good football team.
Jay, got about a minute here, bud. The guys that concern me on Iowa is what they're going to do with the tight end. They've got TJ Hawkinson, who's your blocker and pass catcher. Actually the team leader in yards, and then you got Noah Fant that loves to stick it to Nebraska, and Iowa loves to stick it to Nebraska with Noah Fant. And Fant got off the milk carton at least for one touchdown against the Illini. Who does Nebraska put on him? I mean, how do you at least contain that matchup that's just worked so many people this year and in past years? Who's covering the tight ends?
Yeah, you know, you can look at a guy like JJ or JoJo Doman in that situation. You could look at him as a hybrid, you know, safety, that linebacker role. But I think if there's a guy that you could put on Noah in that situation. You know, Antonio Reed. And to me, in those type of situations, I know they split him up all over the field. But you have a guy like that, you just cannot let him get free releases. You got to jam him up. If he's coming up the line in the Y position, you know, a linebacker, outside linebacker, you got to jam him up. You got to throw off the timing. You got to hit him. You got to hit him right off the line of scrimmage and just let him know that you're no free releases, zero free releases all game. Whether it's Mo Berry, whether it's Dedrick Young, Luke Gifford, Tyron Ferguson, whoever it may be, get plenty of shots on him coming off the line of scrimmage. And if he's pulled out wide, same thing. You got to redirect him. You got to reroute him. Do whatever you can. I mean, when you watch teams play New England and what they do to Gronk, mm-hmm. That's what you got to do. That's what you got to do. A guy like Noah Fant, you got to get him early in his routes and just get him off timing with the quarterback and get him uncomfortable. I mean, no one likes getting hit like that off the line of scrimmage, and just let him know that you're going to be doing that all game. That's kind of my opinion. That's how I think you handle it. And then if you want to let him maybe get some couple free releases, then you maybe put a guy like J.J. Doman or JoJo Doman on him, who has plenty of speed and athleticism to hang with him, you know, running, you know, 7 routes, 8 routes, you know, whatever you want to call it. You know, in the back end, but I think you just got to be physical with him on the line of scrimmage and get him out of rhythm and get him out of timing with Stanley.
Jay Moore, catch him on Big Red Rapid. Follow him on Twitter at JayMoore44. Bert, have a great Turkey Day. Thanks for a few minutes.
Yep, you got it, Smee. Thanks, buddy.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Down by 3.
The redshirt freshman. The throw. Incomplete. Trey Neal.
A lot of energy on Saturday, Huskers 9-6, trying to cap off 2018 with winning 5 out of 6. Great to be back with you on Hail Varsity Radio, 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. We'll see what happens on Friday with Nebraska's offense. Danny, I know you've already researched this because you're going to lay some heat. Maybe you have already. 50s in rain, maybe low 40s and a little bit of rain, but it shouldn't be a downpour. It should be better conditions, correct?
Yeah, that's what I saw. I mean, that was my big factor looking at the game because Nebraska opened up as a 7.5-point dog, which I thought is pretty disrespectful, I guess you could say, for the second half of the season so far. Iowa is coming off of what, a 63-0 win over Illinois on the road, but Iowa's been
There's other names for it than win. I mean,
that's for sure.
They did some things. Here's what I'm looking at. I'm looking at Iowa's rush defense, number 2 in the conference, 8th nationally. I'm looking at Iowa's pass defense, number 17, number 2 in the conference. I'm looking at Iowa's scoring defense. They allow 17 a contest. Total defense, number 2 in the conference and 6th nationally. All right. They have a better total defense than Michigan State. Not a better rush defense, but a better total defense. Now, Iowa lost a nail-biter to Wisconsin. They coulda, shoulda, woulda against Penn State. I mean, Iowa's defense had 3 touchdowns that day, like 2 special teams and a defensive pick 6. They had all but 7 points, I'm pretty sure, against Penn State. Purdue's just Purdue, man. That's where, if you're a Nebraska fan going into Friday, I think if you're going to compare Nebraska's offense to anybody in the Big Ten, it would be Purdue from an explosiveness standpoint, being able to throw and run, having skill players make some plays. Northwestern, slugfest, that was 14-10, and low scoring. A lot of punting going on. But I really think Nebraska needed to have a game that the defense won for them, just from a confidence standpoint, knowing that you can do it. And that's what Coach Frost said after the game. Blackshirts needed to come along with it. This is Coach Frost today on the defense's improvement. And that's, what do they say you take with you on the road? Defense and special teams along with your run game. We'll talk about Adrian's performance, and we'll get into the refs here for a little bit as well. But the defense, the main storyline. Can't wait to talk to Coach McBride in 20 minutes.
That was a big win for us in a lot of ways. I think the biggest was to kind of set the stage for the black shirts deciding that they can win games for us. And if you'd told me we were going to win a game ever here where we didn't score an offensive touchdown, I thought you were crazy. It was certainly a defensive day, not an offensive day, but our defense had to step up. Games like that are going to help you build confidence, help you build on things that you need to improve for the future. I think those guys have done an unbelievable job with what they have, what we walked into, and they've got these guys that are playing on defense, playing about as well as they can. So we need to do that again Friday.
Scott Frost today. Listen, he's right. I mean, you need growth, you need maturation, you need improvement, you need all those things, but you need to see it. And this thing kind of capped off what the narrative has been. Hey, we're getting better. I'm not suiting up, but I'm like paraphrasing Frost's words. We're getting better, right? And you saw that, and you felt okay about the defense. And I don't say I was grumbling about the defense last week, but you had questions about the defense, right? What was our question about Saturday? Well, I know you have a one-armed Michigan State offense due to injury. Doesn't matter. You still doubted. I still doubted if Nebraska was going to be physical enough to stop the run game or at least keep Michigan State from grinding them down. Think about this. How many of you like bourbon? We're raising both of our hands in here. And when you pour a bourbon, you're going to pour that bourbon into your tumbler. And you can just do ice, maybe a splash of water. Maybe some of you go with the Coke route, whatever. Not judging. But you can get pretty big ice cubes to put in those tumbler glasses so you can just enjoy your drink. Well, at some point, that ice is going to melt, and that's when it's money. When you get just enough ice to melt, it takes a bit of that punch away, okay? And eventually, that's what needed to happen here with Nebraska, was have enough of that ice melt into your bourbon where it's not just, man, the defense is a liability. I think it's okay to rip that Band-Aid off about them being a liability. I know it's one game, but it's one hell of a game in incredible conditions. Flip it around. The offense, weren't you waiting for them to break through and get a score? And they were there. They were there with man knocking on the door, and then Michigan State would make a player Nebraska wouldn't execute.
You also really saw the importance of missing Spielman out there, too.
Right, little of both. And Stanley was held catchless in the first half, and they started going to him finally. And then for the tying field goal. No, the go-ahead, forgive me. The go-ahead field goal, they hit him because they had great field position. They had great field position four times the whole freaking game. And they scored off three of those four. And I'm talking starting at the 45 or better, their own. They were able to get just enough yards, one first down, to get into field goal range. The 35-yard pass to Spielman, or to Stanley, forgive me, was key. But you couldn't do any more. That was shut down. Champagne room's full. Sorry, can't get into the end zone. So it was huge. Can the defense do it again? And here's the other most important question. Will they have to do it again?
They will, absolutely.
Do you think that you think it's gonna be another one of these type of teen type scores Saturday?
I think because of the road factor, and just because, like you listed, how good Iowa's defense is. So I think Nebraska's defense is gonna have to put pressure on Stanley and cause turnovers once again. It's gonna be crucial.
Can we make an argument for who made who on Saturday? I mean, was it more about Sparty's D being that good? Yeah. Or was it the weather that absolutely screwed things? Together, you saw three field goals against this Frost offense. Because you're wanting to see Frost's offense against some of the better teams in football. Can it work in the Big Ten? Well, it's done work against Wisconsin and Ohio State. Sparty, with that weather, too much to overcome.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
10 minutes away, it is Mr. Blackshirt, Charlotte McBride. A Blackshirt Monday continues next hour. Husker outside linebacker, you want to hear him. Tyron Ferguson going to be with us. How about the biggest sale of the year going on? Pay nothing till January 2019 with your friends at Madonna. Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake Road. Hey, it is incredible. Got there yesterday for a little bit. I'm making a pledge to get there the next 4 days, because I'm going to be a fat and happy guy Thursday. But let's shave off a little extra so we can put some back on as they get ready for Thanksgiving. Madonna Proactive, 56th and Pine Lake. When we're talking a membership and a workout facility, you pay nothing till 2019. Strength training, cardio, basketball courts, three pools, a walking track, and an aqua track, pickleball, and 130 classes offered that include kickboxing, TRX, and yes, yoga. And when I tell you about that pool they have, the aqua track is also a therapy pool. So when it comes to physical therapy, Madonna Therapy Plus loves to use it. And if you or a loved one needs to get back into action after an injury, That AquaTrack is right there for you. Can log on Madonna.org to find out more about therapy. Plus, can make that phone call today, 402-420-0000, to get signed up and find out more about being a Madonna Proactive member and get that workout on, get that tailgate bod back into pre-tailgate shape.
I got a question for you, Schmitty.
What?
If you get the meat sweats while you're eating, does that count as exercising? Does it cross it out?
I don't know. I have gotten the meat sweats at least three times a year for the last 5 years.
Thanksgiving, Christmas?
Yeah, because...
Then what, 4th of July maybe?
Probably.
The weather, the food, the grill.
Yeah, I think you nailed all three. I think you nailed all three because why stop at one brat for the 4th?
Can't.
Why stop at just two pieces of prime rib for Christmas? And why not just feed bag it if it's the right turkey? It's on. And then you exactly. follow up Black Friday and get it rolling.
Exactly. The best is that post-Thanksgiving meal nap, though.
See, those are so good.
Oh, yeah. Belly out.
It is acceptable to be the guy that shows up to Thanksgiving dinner in fat pants. Do it. Show up in sweats and say screw it. Show up in your Adidas workout tracksuit and just be fat and happy. It's okay.
After the meal, you'll just be like, who's laughing now? Just walking around, nice and easy, relaxed.
It'll be so good. It'll be so good.
I think
good.
We've talked about Thanksgiving about like three times in the past month, and we're just like so excited for it.
I'm really jacked about it.
Oh, yeah.
I can't wait. You book on out of here for the Pride of Chicago World Tour back home, don't
That's
you?
That's right. Yeah, I'm heading out Wednesday morning.
Good for you.
So, yeah.
You love that.
Oh, yeah. I'm excited to get some home-cooked food. And
are you a green bean casserole guy?
Not really.
See,
I guess.
Then we love you, but there is something wrong with you between that and Fairberry brand hot dog.
I mean,
you've whiffed on two major takes.
Hey, well,
in your life,
we agreed with the cranberry. It tastes better coming out of the can.
Yes,
I think we agreed on that. So.
It does.
Yeah.
And if you do time, my apologies to you. I'm kidding. Charlie McBride's coming up. He is not having to wear a Michigan State sweatshirt this week, but his friends are having to wear Nebraska gear. He'll tell you about it hour two on the way.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz_radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back with you, Tower 2. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, the Pride of Chicago, Danny Burke. Hope you have a great holiday week planned. We say hello to Mr. Blackshirt Mondays with Charlie, Coach Charlie McBride. Coach, how are you?
Hello, I'm great. I'm doing good. You know what? I thought Danny and I were both the Pride of Chicago. Then you kind of cut me out.
Well, you are the Pride of Chicago, Coach. You're a Pride of Chicago emeritus. And
that's right, emeritus.
Emeritus. And Danny Burke, I see him every day. So I just said, well, let's just run with it, the Pride of Chicago. Let's just do that. And now, Danny, jump on here. Where? What part of Chicago are you from?
Northwest suburbs.
Okay,
so Coach is probably actually from like the heart.
Right. So here's the thing, Danny's from Ferris Bueller land. You can have the title and you win.
I'm a Southsider.
Right. So we know who would win.
I don't know.
You know, so now he's a Sox fan too. I got to imagine.
We have more guns.
I will not argue you on that.
Wow. Danny's like, you win. Good night. Coach, did that ball game bring a tear to your eye? Hey, man, what a defensive throwback ball game.
You know, it's probably got to be one of the best recruiting weekends we've ever had. Can you imagine what a kid's thinking when he walks into that stuff?
Yeah.
Oh, but anyway, It was exciting game. Probably the you know, in reality, the thing that was good about it is they showed the fans a lot. And it was really kind of fun watching, you know, everybody have a good time in the snow and jumping up and down and doing things. You know, they, instead of making something ugly out of it, they made something good out of it. And I think it wore off on the players, too, a little bit. And, you know, I was really happy. I mean, I had a feeling we kind of had – Michigan State's kind of had a tough time at Lincoln, you know, and, you know, in the last few years and that they played here. And so, you know, I was just thinking at the end of the game, you know, that somehow we're going to do it, and we did. And, of course, you know, to get a freshman to come through and – you know, and get the winning field goal and something that even makes it more special, I think.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie, Mr. Blackshirt. Coach, what's that like for you to lead and you're all one team, you play for one another. I mean, I understand all of that, but you've got your career you spent with a guy that you care a lot about, but he's an offensive coach, Coach Osborne, right? I mean, that was the headline maker, and then the defense for a long, long time also got much due credit, the black shirts. Well, Coach Coach Frost is an offensive coach, and people talk about his offense, and the defense was kind of under a microscope and has been questioned because they've been a work in progress. There's some games in your career that were big time games where the defense had to step up because the offense, because of weather or opponent, was neutralized. I have three games that I'm thinking of. I'm thinking of the Kansas State game when the Terminator started back in 94.
Yep.
And then two games in 88. Yeah, you shut out a really good Colorado team 7-0, and then you held Switzer and that offense to just 3 points. You won down in Norman 7-3 in a monsoon. What's that like to walk into the locker room knowing you gave up little to no points to great offenses?
Well, I think that, you know, I guess I looked at it on both sides of the ball. I mean, you know, you're happy for everybody. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not I don't know that I ever, you know, going to gloat over something like that. I think that just, you know, and the reason is because I've always said this, I didn't play.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And you know, they made a point, and that's what they wanted to do in any of those games. I thought, you know, when the Terminator, he took over, I'll tell you what, you couldn't have beat Nebraska if you had to, because those guys played so hard for him, you know, and you know, they didn't care who the quarterback was, and then when it happened to be him, you know, I think they even put more juice in their bucket. Mm-hmm. You know, and I felt it from the sideline. You know, they were excited for him, and just like Saturday, you know, when you see a freshman that he said he's never kicked in the snow. Well, really? Well, but anyway, you know, it's pretty exciting when you know, especially young people, when you get to be an old man like me and you get, you know, even when I was coaching, and I think that was the money that we got extra was the kids, how they were in the locker room after they accomplished something, you know, good like that, whether it's defensively or offensively. And I've always said that you go through the years, defense is a necessary evil, and the best defense was our offense. So, you know, you could name it any way you want to, but it was still all a team thing.
Sure. Coach McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Coach, what's a win like that do, the way they won? And I know Michigan State was hampered, don't get me wrong, but the weather and that Spartan defense really hampered Nebraska's offense. I mean, it was just sure. I have a ton of respect for the Michigan State defense, how good they were and how problematic they were. What's a win do for this team moving forward, not just Friday, but even into next season?
Well, in reality, if you want to just go look at it the way that maybe some people look at it, our defense beat their defense. And I don't think there's any question about it. And I think that's what you kind of look at in a game like that. You know, who's the one that's got the most points and who got the least? Because in a game that short, it's a defensive game. Mm-hmm. You know, and look at the offensive stuff we've done in the past. that wasn't even like the same team. Of course, when you look at the weather and you see stuff like that. But, you know, that I think when you look at it that way, I think I give our defense more credit, you know, now than maybe I would have if we had a loss. I would have said they played really good on defense.
Mm-hmm.
But this is a win, and they played better than their defense.
Coach, what's your takeaway with Antonio Reed? He's number 25. He was the safety that had the blitz on the ace formation. Antonio's a super talented guy, but as Scott put it in the post game, not necessarily always doing the right things on and off the field, and he's become that guy that's doing things the right way on and off the field. Got a world of talent. He's a kid out of Memphis.
That's what happens. You get somebody that's a little bit on the edge, and they get around good people, when they get around good leadership. They either join them or they're out of here. And that's just the way it's always worked. You know, and I think that once they get to that point and they start to find out how fun it is and how good he feels about himself, then that changes a lot of people. And those are the things that change it. A lot of times it isn't how talking to somebody and making them change. It has to be something, lightning hit them or something, you know, different. Because they get a lot of kids get tired of, you know, it's the same old thing. Your parents are telling them, don't do that, don't do this, don't do that. You go through, we all went through the same thing, and, you know, we got all worked up about it. And pretty soon it goes in one ear and out the other. But when you have your own peers around you and hugging your neck when you're doing things like that, and you join them, you're having more fun doing that than you did in the old days when you were just being me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that was great. I mean, he's a banger now. And, you know, it's great to see the fact that he comes out of his shell, kind of, if that's what you want to call it. And last whole half of the season, I thought he started really showing the last couple of games. And, you know, now he's really, you know, he's becoming a visual leader on the field as far as the fans are concerned. How he is with the team, I don't know. But his things he's done on the field, you know, make him one of the better players.
Super talented football player, and a really big-time game for him as a senior on senior day. Charlie McBride's mm-hmm. with us, Hale Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, let's switch gears and talk Black Friday. For years it was Oklahoma, then it was Colorado. Now it's Iowa. A lot of respect for both coaches towards each other. Iowa's really kind of kept kicking Nebraska. They have mauled Nebraska physically. It's been unwatchable the last couple few years. How do you feel about Friday?
Well, I think it's a whole different can of worms now. I mean, it's a, you know, it's a changing, on our side, it's a changing team. And you can look at what they did last week. You know, not allow any points. Now, this is another good defensive football team, but at times they haven't looked so good. And, you know, so they're, it's kind of one of those things. Are they for real or aren't they? And I'd say their defense is for real. you know, if they get off on the right foot, they're really tough to beat over there. I mean, it's always been tough for us. And I remember back when we played, right, we put 50 on them. The year before, went over there and lost 10-7.
Yeah.
And, you know, turned the ball over and lost the game. And that's the name of the game. You start turning it over and, you know, you got to fight like heck just to survive. And so going over there is going to be tough. They'll go in the pink locker room where they got it all painted nice pink to make you feel good, and, you know, and then go out there and, you know, you're not, you know, it's one of those psychological things. I never noticed until somebody told me that that's what it was about. But the way we played, I think it worked. So anyway, it's a great, let me tell you, to me, it can be a better rivalry and a cleaner rivalry than, well, Oklahoma was not a dirty rivalry. Colorado was. Mm-hmm. Colorado was a hate deal. Mm-hmm. And Oklahoma was a respect thing. And I think it can go the same way with Iowa. And that's when it, that's when college football's fun. You know what you're in for, and you better get ready to play. It's not going to change. And don't think because you're the guy that has, you know, is the supposed to win the game is going to win it, because in most cases it doesn't happen that way.
Charlie McBride's with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Mondays with Charlie. Coach, got about 3 minutes here. Nebraska's offense, how do you go about chipping away at that Iowa defense? What do you do on offense?
Well, the thing is, one thing is, if you can lock the linebackers up with misdirection stuff is sometimes really, you know, important. And we do run some things where both our offensive line is misdirecting as well as our backfield. And the other thing is just staying with your blocks. And the things that I notice the most are the finishing your blocks, and on defense, being able to separate and play blocking schemes. Those are the things that we've really got to really, really work on. I mean, those are the things that will make the difference in this team from being a great team, a good team, to a, you know, it could be a very, very good team. Mm. The fundamental things are the things that I think we're lacking in some ways, which is normal because when you change coaching staff, you're learning new techniques. And, you know, I can go back and tell you that I've had kids that can learn the stuff in a day, or, you know, the physical part of it in a day, and see things better than other players do. And, you know, I found out something a long time ago, and I found out through playing baseball. When I was in the Little League, believe it or not, we used to try to find out which our strong eye was. Well, I've always carried that with me when I've coached. And if you're a right end or a left end or whatever you are, I tried to fit so that your strong eye is always to the inside. And that's kind of a stupid thing. A lot of people go, oh, yeah, it makes it. But it does make a difference. I mean, if you can see a baseball with your left eye better than your right, then you're better off on the right side.
Sure.
And you see, so there's little thinking little things that, you know, and believe it or not, as we went through, I did some of that with the linemen. Now, we flip-flopped our two inside guys, but the defensive ends are the important ones because they're, you know, everything's coming inside out. So they're the important ones. But like I said, the thing is over repetition is really, really critical.
Coach, we will say goodbye and talk to you on Monday. I want you and your family to have an outstanding Thanksgiving. We really appreciate you giving us a few minutes today.
I'm going over to Tomich's house and eat all his turkey.
Does he share?
Yeah. Not well, depends on if I get there, you know, fast. I hope his wife gives him a job outside. Then we can start eating.
Well, that'll be a sight to think about. You and Tomich destroying a turkey.
Happy Thanksgiving to you and all the Husker fans, and, you know, have a great time watching the Iowa game, and just, you know, just keep trucking.
Absolutely.
That's what we can do, you know. Thanks for having me. I'll talk to you next week.
All right, Coach. Okay. Be good. Okay. Take care.
You bet. Bye now.
See ya. We're going to come back. Can I go pride plural? The prides of Chicago?
That works. He's like the OG pride.
Well, that's what I meant.
Yeah.
I mean, McBride's undefeated.
Oh, absolutely.
Tyron Ferguson, Husker outside linebacker. Next, you don't want to miss Tyron. Fergie's on the way.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back in, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Tyron Ferguson is jumping on with us. All right, man, you guys got the big one over Sparty. You were flying around. Take me through your process getting back on the field, because I know it had to be frustrating with that high ankle.
Yeah, man, very, very emotional, because I'm super, super passionate about the game. So just seeing my brothers out there having fun, I was definitely happy for them accomplishing what they're doing out there. but just to be on the sideline and just not being able to have fun and be out there to do those Muhammad Berry flexes, you know, it's just it's very emotional, you know. And even though it was a high ankle sprain, it got super emotional. But I stayed the course, stayed focused, worked hard. Coaches saw that I was starting to look back to normal, up tempo, and it was like, man, let's get him back out there. So I just did what I had to do.
How'd it happen?
Practice. It was all me. Went off on the edge on the blitz. It was just coincidence. Went off the edge on the blitz. Quarterback handed the ball off, and put my foot down on the ground wrong and turned to go make a play on a running back. And that's exactly how it happened.
A couple more minutes. Tyron Ferguson's with us here on Hail Varsity. So you're playing the quarterback. You're playing the running back. Probably something similar to what you saw in practice, and you made another tackle for a loss. Tough play, but a kind of a momentum swinging play. Take me through that splash play and then your approach to Saturday, what you wanted to do, knowing that you've been working so hard to get back on the field.
Well, I always set super high standards for myself and for my players and my guys, you know. But during that play, every play I try not to take a play off. I try to go as hard as I can. But that specific play, I forgot what play we were in, but I knew I was the backside of the defense. Nothing can ever cross my face. And I didn't expect them to do like a Y motion away speed option to me. So that, it didn't throw me off, but I knew if something was going to happen, I was going to make a play on the backside. I have too much pride and too much energy, too much emotion to the game to let anything slide. You know what I mean? My brothers are going hard, so I'm going to go hard. So during that play, I thought the quarterback might would have kept it. Just try to play outside of his shoulder, but not try to get out leveraged by the pitch. And once he made a quick decision and pitched it, flat down the line and went caught him.
Did you kind of try and bait him in to pitching, or did you want to?
Kind of. I kind of did bait him in. That's the thing with football, man. It's like everybody says, it's really 90% mental and the other 10% is physical. So if you know your tendencies of the quarterbacks that they have, and the Spartans played a really good game, really tough team, but their quarterbacks aren't really running quarterbacks, so I kind of knew he was going to pitch the ball. So in the back of my mind, once the speed option came towards me, I was like, okay, he's going to pitch it. So let me try to make sure I show a little presence so he can pitch it a little faster. And once he did what I thought he was going to do, it made the process a lot easier.
What do you love about your position?
My coach.
Expand on coach.
Man, Coach Dewitt, man, that's, you know, he's a great coach, man. Other than being a great coach, he's a great role model. He always has his kids around. He's a great father figure. He just lets you play. Even with the emotional part that came with the ankle sprain and all that stuff, he stuck with me, you know. And I haven't been used to that. I've always thought that coaches would, like, see you injured and, you know what I mean, like, all right, he's not ready to go. I'm going to worry about somebody. But he worries about every one of his players. And that's the best part about playing my position. It's not even going out there and playing football. It's just that guy, man. I'll do anything to make that guy smile up in the boot. I'll do anything to make him smile in the boot, man.
Tyron Ferguson, a couple more minutes with us, Hail Varsity Radio. So he's been there for you. Tell me about some of your teammates that were there getting you along with support through emotional support, through verbal support, and then the guys in the training room too.
Yeah, I don't want to say that I'm very emotional about football, like I've been saying this whole time, but everybody kind of saw a shift in my attitude, not in a bad way, more like, man, like maybe he really looks like he's down, he's not playing. And just the bond that the team has, like, I mean, I have a bond with guys on the offensive linemen, wide receivers. Like, I mean, I really have bonds with them. I really can have, like, a really, really good relationship with all of my players, you know. And if you ask anyone about me, man, I'm really energized. I get everyone up when it starts from walk-ons all the way to scholarship players, man, punters all the way to the quarterback. You know, everybody know what I'm going to bring to the table. So when they saw that I was down for those that short period of time, you know. They made sure I stayed focused. They made sure I was on track. They made sure if I was down, they picked me up like, hey, man, you need to get up, man. Like, that's not you, so get up. I mean, one time I was sitting on the bench, and I think Mo came up to me and was like, man, get up, man. Like, what are you doing? It's not you. Get up. So that right there just continued to push me, man. Like I know it's like a short step back, but we're going to come back for sure.
What's this defense going to become?
We're always going to stay humble. We're always going to be, we're always going to respect our opponents. But this defense is going to be great. Whether it's this next year, this, and the tendencies are already picking up this year, but whether it's next year, after my senior year, or even the next year, this defense will be great. Everything takes time, you know, and all of our guys are buying in. They're really buying in. And it's not even the system. It's just what our team stands for. Is when Coach Frost says, no fear of failure with a desire to excel, that's really what we live off, you know. The game is not ever perfect. Everybody's assignments aren't perfect. But when you play fast, like if I'm supposed to be in a B-gap, but I'm playing so fast that I make it around the C-gap, beat the tackle, and make the play in the backfield, that's what they mean by no fear of failure. So if you make a mistake but you're going 100%, that's all they worry about.
When did buy-in happen for you?
When Coach Frost was hired.
Sight unseen, blind, or did it take that first meeting or what?
No. It didn't take anything, you know. Just what Coach Frost was able to do in his career, you know, actually being a national champion here at Nebraska, being able to go to the next level and playing for a while on the next level, and then being able to go to another team and turn that team from 0-12 to 13-0 and be number, I believe they were like number six, Auburn, I guess, at whatever time it was,
they beat
Auburn.
Finished
four. Yeah, and they beat Auburn that finished four. Auburn beat Alabama. And I'm not that type of person to match teams and all that stuff, but just to see that you could turn a team from 0-12 to 13-0, number one offense in the country, I believed in it, you know, because if you can go to a place like that, man, it's just, and I'm not, no shade on UCF or anything like that, I'm pretty sure that's a great place, but this place is unbelievable. All the resources that we have here, all of the coaches that we have here, everything we need from nutrition all the way down to relaxation, man, it's like no other, you know. So I just knew that with Coach Frost coming here, I knew it was going to take time. I never in my mind was like, man, we're going to just be this team right off the jump. But it takes time, you know. So and that time is kind of showing, and I hope everybody is getting on board, man, because this thing is going to leave with or without you. So most definitely.
Tyron Ferguson with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Last thought, when I say Iowa, what comes into your mind? Iowa, Nebraska.
Tough. Smash mouth football. Four quarters.
Best of luck. Thanks for the time.
Thank you, man. Appreciate it.
Good stuff from Husker outside linebacker Tyron Ferguson. Fergie is very physical. He's had really good play off the edge when he's been healthy. And he lets you inside. He really did, because it was heart-wrenching for him to try and get back from that high ankle injury. He told you how he did it. And what did he do on senior day for his brothers, he calls them, his seniors? He made a pretty big-time play on that option sprint that could have gone a long ways, because he was it, man. He was it on that island, and he's playing the quarterback and the running back, and he made a sweet play. He is a splash playmaker, and more him on the field's a good thing. He's healthy. He's ready to go. He'll be big against Iowa. JoJo Doman will be big against Iowa. Antonio Reed, man, will be big against Iowa. We also got caught up with Tanner Farmer today, and we'll hear from Tanner Farmer on tomorrow's show with Hail Varsity. 466-3776, 466-3776, 1-800-825-5865. Some NFL we'll get into tonight. Nebraska basketball is down in Kansas City. They get rolling here in about 25 minutes or so against Missouri State. And we'll kind of preview that. Danny, how did we do this weekend?
So Clausburn, believe it or not, came out on top. If we're referring to the Friday forecast,
yes.
That is. Okay, so yeah, Clausburn went 3-1. Me, you, and Jay, we all went 500, 2-2. So not the worst week, not the best, but collectively, we did all right. So I believe the games, well, because we had the same picks once again. The games that we lost were, we thought Syracuse would cover, but Notre Dame would win. Notre Dame obviously blew them out. West Virginia, how about that? They choked at the end of that game.
Well, they,
did you
they,
see that?
I did, and then they got Oklahoma on deck. You watched them beat Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
And I would have liked to have watched the Texas-Iowa State game, except that I will not pay for the Longhorn Network.
Yeah, what was that about? I saw that on Saturday night. I was like, what the heck is this? That was ridiculous. But so, yeah, then we had Texas, so okay, cool, hook them, lived up to the hype, ooh. And they blew
Iowa
State.
It's a good T-shirt his
out.
Wife was wearing.
Oh, yeah, I know. How about that? It's a big
We need more camera time of Tom Herman's wife. So Coach Brett emails in, chris@halevarsity.com. The trash man, Kent, emails in. And it's not Danny was 2-2. It's like they're all over me about going 500. I can't use some of the language on the email. But it's like, dude, pick some winners. Pick some winners. We were right there.
Mm-hmm.
Which one hosed us?
I think West Virginia hosed
us. Yeah, see, we were fine until the skullet got all sentimental.
Yeah, that sucked. We were looking nice. I mean, Syracuse had no chance from the beginning, but yeah, West Virginia, you're right. They hosed us at the end, but that one sucked. I like West Virginia this weekend against Oklahoma right off the top of my head, though.
Well, Kansas can put up 40. Kansas is better.
That's true.
The Mad Hatter. What to tell you about your friends at Sauter Heyman. Never, ever, ever has there been a sale like this once in a lifetime. It started on Wednesday the 14th. Sauter Heyman, the best and most prestigious jeweler in the area, allows you now to save up to 60% on top quality jewelry. Never before a savings like this. The Sauter Heyman Total Inventory Liquidation Sale. Don't wait. Get there today. South Point and Grand Island location only. Log on, SauterHeyman.com.
And we're back.
Fellas, think we could listen to the radio?
On Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome!
Back with you, it's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Let's talk tonight, Nebraska and Missouri State, also the Rams and Chiefs. So a couple of great options tonight. We'll spend time with Nebraska basketball. First, the question is, what do you do as time is wasting and ticking away to put a wager down on Nebraska? 14.5. I stay the hell away from Nebraska covering that number. Not they'll win, and they could even win by double digits. The point is how likely is this team going to go shoot on the road at Sprint Center? They may have gotten a shoot around or two in. Great. It's still not home court. Sometimes they don't shoot great at home. I mean, it's just kind of my take.
No,
What's the over-under?
Well, the spread at first, or do you already say, 14.5?
Yeah.
Over-under, I think, is like 140-something, 143, I want to say. I'll double check. But I, from last season carrying over, Nebraska was one of the best teams at hitting the under. So I, until they do differently, and especially on the road, I will take the under for the Huskers. It's like you said, I mean, I'm not really confident in them covering 14.5, and I said I didn't think they would cover against Seton Hall because I think it's too early to really be confident enough, especially on the road. So there's no doubt they'll win, but 14.5, let's just see how this team plays on the road for the first time, and then we can have a little bit more confidence in these guys covering those high numbers.
Because they'll get to tomorrow night, they'll get the winner of Tech and SC.
Yeah, and that's going to be a big game.
Yeah,
regardless
absolutely.
Of who it is.
Because they've got that, and then Clemson's on the horizon.
Mm-hmm. I think Clemson by the end of this week, right? Or is it at the beginning of next week?
So Brett is emailing in. He's taking the overs in Nebraska to cover. Because we're telling you to do the opposite.
Okay.
You know, when Pete Rose didn't bet money on Cincinnati on a Tuesday, you got the message. I get it. What happens tonight? You have the largest overs in the history of the NFL.
142.5, really quick, though, was Nebraska over-under.
Oh. It's a good number. It's a great number.
I'd say buy half a point, round it up to 143 and take the under.
So we're talking 74 to 60. We're talking 84 to 70, something like that. Nebraska's defense has been pretty good. I'm talking, you know, 72-55.
That's what keeps them in the games on the road is their defense. So that's why I think it's going to hit the under.
Yeah. Chiefs and Rams, who you got?
So I took the line on this game before it got moved to L.A., which was nice when it was 2.5. And I took the Rams, and I'm still standing by the Rams, especially now that it's in L.A. I'm all over the Rams tonight. Don't know if they'll kill them or anything. It'll definitely be close. The best game of the year is what everyone's predicting, and I kind of hope it turns out to be that way.
Well, let's stay there. Does it live up to that? You had garbage last night. I know you liked it. And you had a good Seattle-Green Bay Thursday night.
Yeah.
But what else did you have Sunday? I mean, I guess Dallas was pretty good with the pride of Kearney drilling a field goal at the winner, you know, for Dallas.
Yeah, he screwed me there. I live bet the Falcons.
And then we get an email in from Nate. He wants to talk about Skanksgiving.
Skanksgiving.
That's what his email said. It's the Wednesday that every 20-year-old goes to the bar.
Oh, we call it Blackout Wednesday.
Okay.
Back home.
You've traded the name.
Yeah. I didn't know what it was referring to Thanksgiving exactly, but I get it now.
Yeah. I mean, everyone comes home.
Yeah, exactly.
Or you go out if you're staying home, and you have a good old time, and you find someone's place to go get that hangover taken care of on Thursday morning.
Yeah, it's perfect. You go out, you hit the local bars, and then you wake up at 8 in the morning for Turkey Bowl. You got to keep it going, a couple more brews, and you get the turkey going in the morning, come back home, nap.
You got to keep it going.
Well, yeah, I mean, it helps. I mean, it sucks if it's freezing cold and you're drinking the cold beer, but that's what you kind of got to do. You got to parlay it, keep it going.
You don't switch her up to a Bloody Mary?
I'm not a Bloody Mary guy. I hate Bloody Marys. hate me now.
I know you're fine. I think Searles taunted you when he was on camera on the field.
How so?
Well, so Searles is on the field, and he's there with Qualley, and gosh darn it. The guy who's playing guard now or tackle.
He was with Danny Woodhead in the picture, though, I saw too, right?
Well,
are you talking about a picture or was it a video?
No, I mean, he was on the field and they said, you know, after they do the Huskers in the NFL, he was back and Zach Stirrup,
okay.
Hastings kid. And so it's Stirrup and Searles and Qualley. Mm-hmm. They're all three in the league. Well, as soon as they wave to the crowd, he takes out a hot dog.
Oh, no.
A red hot dog, and they all, like, cheers it. And they take a giant bite of a Fairbury brand hot dog.
No way.
And it might be just, like, some sort of secret or quite open NFL / I'm a big ol' offensive lineman. I'm mowing down on,
right.
on nitrates here. But I swear that could have been a shot at you.
That'd be funny. That's awesome. I wish I saw that, but that's funny. I think you would have said something if it was directly attributed to me.
I don't know, but I thought that was pretty funny.
That's awesome.
And I didn't know if it was headed your way or not.
Yeah, but
I think the Chiefs back to, you know, the game.
Yeah,
tonight.
I was going
to
ask you. So what's your pick here?
I think people have gotten on the Rams when push comes to shove. You still have Donald. You still have Sue.
Mm-hmm.
And when Sue wants to give a damn, he's unstoppable. I mean, against Seattle, he had 9 tackles. He had a sack. And those two together can do a lot of things. I think Kansas City's going to hit some big plays. But I think Mahomes could be in for his first long day as an NFL star.
Agreed.
That's just how it's shaken out.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they were going to go to Mexico and play this and the players threatened to, like, say peace out. And who knows about the air quality?
The Rams have been training in Colorado for the altitude. That factors in anything.
Well, good luck. I mean, whatever. Well,
any edge you can get in this game.
No, I know. But now it's like you're smoking a half pack of smokes because of the wildfires.
Yeah.
So I guess it comes down to weed usage per team. Whose lungs are more
I'm taking
more
the Cali
used.
Boys over the Kansas City guys.
I think you go with the Rams as well. What's the number?
It's at 3 now, so
I think you
damn well might just push.
I think it'll probably push, but
yeah, that's why I was happy with 2.5.
Do you just dial back the over that the world's putting money on?
See, that's the thing. It's like you almost have to take it because they're tempting you to, and you can't root against the over in this game. So with that being, but then it's like you also want to take the under because everyone's suspecting to take the over. So I'm just going to stay away from the over under. It's at like 63, and I'm just going to stick with taking the Rams all the way.
Okay.
What about you? Over under?
I think the Rams, and give me the under.
Honestly, I would just say the under too.
And I'll lay the points.
Yeah. I like it.
Well, we'll get crushed tomorrow for it. Want to remind you about seat belts, click it or ticket. A seatbelt prevents excessive injury when you and your vehicle need to slow down. Do you want the seatbelt to stop you or the windshield? And it applies in that driver's seat, passenger seat, or back seat. Buckle up now, click it or ticket. A message from the Nebraska Department of Highway Safety Office will say goodbye on a Monday next on Hail Varsity.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Here, 2nd and 8. Lombardi, under pressure, hit! Ball's loose! And the Huskers have it!
How about Antonio Reed? How about your electrifying play of the game by IBEW? Local 265 and Nika, you want a career, not just a job. You like working with your hands, but need an income while training. Check out buildingnebraska.org. Nika, the National Electrical Contractors Association, and IBEW. Local 265, the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers, are accepting applications for a statewide apprentice program, great wages, benefits, pension, all while training to become a professional electrician. Find out more at buildingnebraska.org. Nika and IBEW Local 265, the power of partnership, your electrifying play of the game. That was it. That was absolutely it. Antonio Reed off the edge, blitz, sack, recovery, boom.
He was the epitome of a black shirt on Saturday, man.
He got it today. And in fact, let's hear Coach Frost explain what went down. 5 years in waiting for a guy that has next level potential.
Yeah, Antonio Reed got a black shirt today.
How did you guys present that to him, and what was his reaction?
You know, we don't want to make a bigger deal out of it than what it is. When they show up for practice, there's a new jersey hanging in their locker. You know, I certainly felt like he could have been recognized as a conference player of the week with the difference he made in a defensive struggle in a 9-6 football game. But in our eyes, that's what he was. And he's capable of playing at that level all the time. It was great to see it come to fruition when we really needed it.
Very sound argument. The guys who got the player of the week, you have Iowa's defensive end that went insane. And then you had Minnesota's linebacker with 20 tackles.
Then how about Barrett Pickering? He got special teams player of the week, too.
He did, and he nailed it. And think about the Northwestern game where Pickering had a miss, right? And then let's go for it on 4th and short, which we still support because he wasn't sure about the field goal. Missed extra point as well. And then Antonio Reed, was it the Northwestern game? No, he had a great play in the Northwestern game. He had the interception at the goal line. But against Purdue, he's trying to decapitate somebody.
That was Colorado, the first game where he got that crucial targeting call.
No, and I'm talking about like where he lays a knockout shot, doesn't wrap up, and the dude keeps running. Was that Purdue? I don't know.
I think it was Wisconsin.
Okay, it might have been Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I don't know. The point of it is it's all running together, but Antonio Reed's always had the talent. He just wears you out with some of his decision-making, but Coach McBride nailed it. If you missed Charlie McBride, he was phenomenal. He's always phenomenal, but he's just the best, and you'll want to get caught up with him. The in-demand portion on ESPN Lincoln, and, of course, Danny Burke, the Pride of Chicago, along with Charlie McBride, the Pride of Chicago. We'll get that tweeted out on ESPN Lincoln and Hail Varsity, some of the highlights from the interview, or catch the full interview on ESPN Lincoln or the in-demand on ESPNLincoln.com. Twitter or the website will have it for you. The podcast will be up. Incredible stuff today. Jay Moore, Charlie McBride, Tyron Ferguson. Awesome to sit down with on a Black Shirt Monday. We'll have Tanner Farmer tomorrow, Mitch Sherman, and it is full-on Iowa-Nebraska talk tomorrow. We'll talk to you at 4 with Hail Varsity. Thanks.